Let's review the questions. So Tosa, okay, the Gemara. The Gemara asks, the Mishnah. Okay. The Mishnah has, we're going to ignore the Stolos case for now. Well, actually, no, it was Mishnah also. Okay, let's get it all clear. Okay, the Mishnah's got three cases, right, that we care about. Okay? So you're roasting a Korban Pesach in a Cheres oven. Case one. What happens? So the Korban Pesach touches the wall of the, of the oven. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Klipa. What's a Klipa? A peel. You peel. Right. Okay, that's fine. Scrape's fine. Okay. Okay, good.
The service layer.
Service layer, good. Okay, second case. The Rotav, right? Rotav, the juices, the fat, fatty juices.
Sauce.
Sauce, right. Comes off the Korban Pesach. But sauce, you gotta be careful. You're right, technically, but sauce sometimes implies it's separate from the Korban. You gotta be careful with that. We're saying it's the juices of the Korban. So it's a chelik of the Korban. So this juice flies out the Korban, hits the wall of the oven, right? Then it comes back onto the Korban Pesach. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? Nitzolos Mekomos. That's bigger than klipa, okay? And the third case, which is a weird one, is where the rota falls on this hot flour. Okay, fine. So the Gemara's question on Shmuel is, the Gemara then says, it's a machlokas, right? Do we hold ilagavar or tasagavar? What's ilagavar, man? Right, what spar do we say by ilagavar? And therefore, the catalyst, the mitzvah, beautiful. And what's the tasagavar?
The thing you're adding to.
Okay, beautiful. That's good enough. Okay. So the Gemara comes along and says, okay, the second case in the Mishnah of the Rotav hitting the wall and then coming back in, and eats also Makamo, makes sense if you hold Ilah Gavar. Does everyone understand why? Do I have to explain that? Yeah? You're done.
I just got to text him.
I know. Exactly. Yeah, okay. Don't go off the hard bias. It's okay.
And try not to work.
Right.
And like they know it.
No, not that. why is it okay if you hold the law gavar? Why would it make sense to say that the rota goes from the Korban Pesach to the wall and then back onto the korban that eats also makomo? Why?
Because it's
yes, Zucker. Yes, yes.
Because
makes me so happy. The Shmuel, right? How could Shmuel say? I can handle it. Yeah. All right. So Tosos comes along and says like this. Tosos says, one second. Why does the Gemara ask from the second case, right? The second case being Rotav splashing on the wall and then back onto the Korban. The better case to ask from is the first case. What happens in the first case? Right. So the Korban Pesach touches the Klicharis. The wall of the Tanur. And the halacha is it requires a Klipa. So if you hold Tasa Gavar, why do you require a Klipa? That's very strange. What you should say is nothing. Right? Now, this is a big problem. Before you get into those answers, this is a big problem. This should challenge what we said before. Because we were very insistent on saying before that if you go by the bottom, so the top one comes in and it becomes one unit, so to speak. And now it's like toppings on ice cream. So there's no, remember, cham, leso cham means blia. We're looking at a sheer blia. So now, if I define this thing as the thing coming in is no longer, what do you call it, an issue. So how could it be a klipa? Why should it be a klipa? What I should say is that one had no effect on the other at all. Right? Okay? One should not affect the other. So how could Shmuel hold klipa? That's the better question to ask. It's very important, Tosos.
Assuming that the oven is the bottom.
Well, okay, one second. Tosos, that's one of those answers. Okay. So answer number one in Tosos. Well, anyone understand the question? In other words, why are we asking Shmuel by the case of the Rotav, where it's Yitzol Smakomo, better ask the case from the actual korban touching the wall, and you require a klipa. Right. Either way, either way, there was some blia. So if there's a blia in either case, ask in the first case. Why ask in the second case? That's a powerful question. Right, it's a powerful question. It's a great Tosos question. Okay, answer number one. It turns out we were wrong. Okay, we assume that if you hold tasa gavar, or you log gavar, it doesn't matter. By a case of cham and sonain, when those two things come together, everyone agrees, when there's an interaction, let's say this carefully, between a solid meat, let's say, and the solid wall, everyone agrees it's going to be a klipa. Okay? You caught that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There's going to be a... There's going to be a klipa, okay? So when a chunk hits another chunk, right? If one is hot and one is cold, I don't care if I hold the log gavra to saw gavra. There's always going to be a klipa. There's going to be a klipa there. As Tosos' language... So you don't tell me he's out of blia because he says, where is it? Whatever. He said it's a blia, okay? It's some type of blia. Okay, so that's answer number one, right? Okay, answer number two is, no, we don't really know in the case where, that's got to be answered. There's a havi maskana there. Answer number two, we don't, when in the case of the piece of Korban Pesach touching the wall of the oven, we don't really know which one's ilah and which one's tasa. It's unclear, right? It's unclear. Could be Korban Pesach's ilah, could be Korban Pesach tasa. We don't know. So because of that suffix, so Shmuel could say, right, it can learn in his favor if he wanted to. Meaning, he could learn in a way where it would make sense to have a klipa. Okay? So of course, what's the havmina there?
And what's the maskana?
Do
we not know?
Exactly. What do you mean by that? Right. I asked that last time. What does it mean we don't know? Like, and why would the Mishnah write it that way? It's very strange. Leave it ambiguous. The third answer, right, which is the hardest one, the third answer is, well, one second. If you look carefully at the language, so the first case is the cheres of the tanur, right? But then, so that's the wall of the wall of the oven, right? But the second case is not the wall of the oven. The second case is a stomp piece of earthenware that the rota splashed on. So in the case where it's the Korban Pesach touching the oven wall, that's cham v'toch cham, right? We'll get to your question. We're going to get to your question. That's cham v'toch cham, right? So yeah, you need a klipa there. But when it comes to the case of, what do you call it, of ala cheres, that's true cham v'toch tzone. But Tosos rejects that answer because he says, yeah, but the fact that he uses the word cheres both times shows you this can't be a good answer. That's the only one he rejects. So then, of course, why did he bring it in to begin with? Phew. Very hard.
For the first answer, how do you know it goes both ways?
Let's just stop for a second and think about what Graeber's positing, okay? What he seems to be positing. What Graeber seems to be positing is that when we have cham l'toch tzonein, you seem to be positing that there's an automatic blia, no matter what,
yes.
Right? No matter what, it's a blia. Okay, now, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
The question is whether or not it continues or what.
Okay, so then what's tasa gavra ilah gavra then, according to you?
So that's
the havmina is easy. The havmina, I want to ignore the mechanisms. We understand catalysts, we understand tasa, all that stuff. Forget that for a second, okay? What we were saying was is that when there's blia, so if you look at blia in a binary way, right? So what's blia doing, right? Ultimately, it's defining the shame of the object. Is this thing cham or is this thing sonin? And that's all blia does. Meaning, when we have this tziruf, right, now determining whether it's cham or tzonein will now tell us, right, the property of the other object. That's it. So, for instance, let's say I have tasa is, let's say tasa gavar, and the bottom's hot, and I add something cold to the top of it. So now, what is the top defined as? What shame does it have now? Shame cham, right? It's a binary, right? Blia goes along for the ride. Okay, in other words, What happens here? That Tziruf now allows us to now create a shame in each one. That's what we were saying before. So that's true. There's no room for klipa. It's impossible. Okay, but maybe that's not what tasa. That's not what's actually happening in the definition of these objects. It might be primary, secondary. I'm not sure. That might not be what's happening. Graeber's saying something interesting. Graeber's saying no matter what, we always have blia. Okay, we always have blia.
When?
Cham l'toch tzonein. Always. Or cham l'toch cham.
You mean cham makes blia?
The same mechanism.
Yes.
Cham makes
cham means blia. Cham is a maisa blia. Definitionally. That's what cham means. Okay. So if I have cham l'toch tzonein, I have to have a maisa blia taking place. Right? So then what's tasa and yilah gavra then?
It's
everyone agrees there's a maisa blia with cham l'toch tzonein. Right? But now what is tasa and yilah gavra going to tell us about
if
that?
Is there one item...
Don't worry so much about that.
It tells you how to define the entire thing.
What, insofar as what, though? Here's what's going to be interesting. Think about it. You know, and that's what I'm saying. Oh, I'll make it easy for you guys. In other words, even at Holtasa Gavar, I'm going to say, even though the thing that was introduced was sonane, somehow there's still a relationship between the two. How is that possible?
Because of what?
I know. So can we get a little clearer? So therefore what? So what is Tasa Gavar telling us, ultimately? Or Yilah Gavar?
That it's able to redefine the other object.
Other object is assumed under.
If I'm acknowledging that by cham l'toch tzonein, there's always going to be a maisa blia.
Well, the blia extends to the whole chatzah.
There we go. Now we're talking. Okay? Tasa yilah gavar, what's their function? The function is to determine the extent of the blia. Right? So there's always going to be a blia. Always. There's always a blia. Now the question is, once that blia takes place, to put it descriptively, right? the whether Tassari La Gavra will determine how far the Bliya is going to go. So let's say Chamatoch Sam, Cham. Okay? So by Chamatoch Cham, the moment they touch, of course it's a Bliya, right? But now, what do we, if we say Chamatoch Cham, the Divrei Kol Asar, what do we mean?
Bliya extends.
The entire Chatzah. It gives the Chatzah its entire shame. But if I hold Tassar Gavar, I don't care. That's why I'm saying I don't care if I hold the law of Tassar Gavar. Ultimately, what I care about is there's always Bliya taking place, and those two will determine how far the Bliya goes. So just to cheat for a second. So let's say I have the second case, right? Without getting into the issues by Shmuel, by the second case. So what's going to happen by the second case? Yitol Smakomo. Even though I hold Tassar Gavar, what can I say? What? It'll go a little further, meaning there's always Bliya. So now, because we'll get into the why that variable is different, but there's always Bliya. So there's just a question of...
What is Yitol versus Pol?
Right, that, you're right, you're right. It's a question of how far we go. Yeah. Yeah, so the question is like this. The Hamin is going to say, if we hold that Cham and Sonein are properties of the Chafza, right? Those would define the Chafza that way. The Tzir tells us which one is which. So they're binary. There's no room for Bliya. Can't exist. It's either the both of them are Cham or both of them are Sonein, right? And the Cham will talk Sonein. That's what's actually happening, right? But the Maskana is saying no. The Maskana is saying that it's not that we assess the properties and then determine, like the tziruf, and then use that to determine the properties. What we first assess is Bliya, meaning whenever we have an interaction between Cham and Tzonein, we always have a Maisa Bliya. Always. There's always a Maisa Bliya taking place. Now the only question is that how far does it go? Does it extend to the entire Chatzah? Mm-hmm. So Tassar Nila Gavar come in to determine the extent of the definition.
So what are the two sides?
What do you mean?
Within Tassar Nila Gavar, then.
Same thing as before. Same, clarify that. In other words, when we say Cham and Sonein, are we talking about binary properties of the Chatzah, of the substance, right? That's one way to look at it. And that's true, then, what, meaning that the moment the Cham hits the Sonein, so now either that object is Cham or it's Sonein. Only one of two possibilities, right? And when I look at this object, it's either hot or cold. There's no in between. That's binary. The other way to look at it is that, maybe there's a shear here. That what happened, that Sonein really means that, in other words, when the Cham object touched the Sonein object, so at that point, there was definitely Maisa Bliya, right? But what Tassar Gavar means is that now it gives it this property at Sonein to say the Bliya will extend no further. That's what Sonein means. It's a cap on, so to speak, on the Bliya. It's capping it's preventing it from Bolea further than that. Now, Weiss is asking a very good question. Now, we got to be careful because I don't want to dip into Chulin. But Weiss wants to understand, well, what's a Shir Klipa? Interesting question.
I was going to ask.
Okay, so what is the Shir Klipa, out of curiosity? Because it's very interesting. We don't like it when Halacha comes along and tells us things like Klipa, because Klipa is how much?
That's the point. It's not a Shir.
Ah, okay. At this point, we'll say, what's a Klipa? Klipa means there's a Maisa Bliya, but there's no Shir. That's what a Klipa means. A Klipa is as far as basically recognizing there was a Maisa Bliya, but there's really no way to measure it out. There's no Shir. So a Shir to speak of. The second answer is very hard. The second answer is, okay, we can't tell. Right, nurse. The Mishnah says.
Is there no way to read
this? Is very hard. Well, good luck with this.
Is there no way to read it?
Okay, good. So in the Habmina, both realities exist. There's a reality Tassar Gavar and a reality Yagar. I mean, both of those conceptual realities exist in the case of Mishnah, and that's true. Shmuel can choose whichever he wants. Great. Meaning that's one way to learn the ambiguity. Well, I think, does that fit in very nicely what I was saying before? If you learn this way, Tosos is saying like this. I think Tosos is saying in the Maskana, he's saying that. It's when we say it's ambiguous, the function of the first case in the Mishnah is not to teach us anything about Tassar Nila Gavar. It's not that both realities that Shmuel could tap into, it doesn't matter, it's irrelevant, because the focus of it is to teach us first and foremost that what happens when Cham and Sonein touch each other, there's a Maisa Bliya, and that's Klipa, and then the second case will take up Tassar Nila Gavar. You understand?
Yeah.
That's the way the Mishnah, according to that's. By the way, now I'm intellectually honest. That's a very strange Mishnah, by the way. I would never learn Mishnah that way. It is based on the Svarim. I'm saying, but think about it.
So weird.
Mishnah is teaching you first principle one: Maisa Bliya. Chavatoks on it, Maisa Bliya.
To show you, Ila and Tassar doesn't matter.
Exactly. The second case gets into Ila and Tassar.
Obviously,
Rosh
Hashanah is Ila, and therefore now we can prove.
Yeah.
Just trying to make it more
interesting. Now, by the way, also, those two answers are very interesting, too. Because I'd say one, the first answer is really telling you. The first, but guys, the first answer is really telling you in a sense, like it's trying, in my opinion, it's trying to show you that when you approach Ila Gavar Tassar Gavar, you approach it first through the lens of Bliya. The second answer is coming to show you, in a sense, how the Mishnah itself reflects that very process.
But then,
Ila Gavar, everyone's going to agree with that. Okay, last case, okay? Now this I'll acknowledge without giving anything away. This is different. This is definitely different, okay? But it's also very difficult to answer. So the what does Tosafot say? He says, oh, the case is we're gonna. I don't know how to answer yet. How he rejects it, how he thinks it's not a good answer. But what's he trying to demonstrate in this answer? This is such a brilliant Tosos. The Tosos says inami becherso shaltaner vaday chamu. Right. So of course when we're talking about the wall, the oven, it's hot. Right. Aval seifa diktani. Right. Al hacheres kasal kadaitach becheres sonen. Right. So because it says al hacheres, it's a separate. That's not the wall, the oven. It's some other piece of earthenware. Right. But. Kavla had a good question. It's your cue.
If it's touching a hot cheres in the first part of the Gemara, then if it's cham al cham, it should be bole the whole entire Pesach.
Right. In other words, if you're telling me, forget tasa yilag avar, if it's cham letoch cham, if the korban Pesach is hot and it's touching the wall of the oven that's hot, what should I say then? Reaction! Exactly!
Was that case one?
Case one! Right?
It wouldn't even be clear, but it wouldn't even serve that purpose.
Exactly!
So the third answer is an attack on the second answer.
First.
The third answer is bringing up something a little bit different.
It's an attack. It's saying it can't even be that the Mishnah is doing it for Klipa because it wouldn't be Klipa.
What would you thought by the Havamina? That's what I want to know. Because the Havamina knows what? There's in Tosa's way of learning, what's the Havamina saying? Let me get our terms clear. In other words, what would you have thought when you read this? Tosa's is saying all along, read it as what? Read it as chom, right, of the wall of the oven,
right.
And alacheres is cold. That's how you read it. That's how you read the cases, right? So Nahavamina would say what?
It's cold.
No. Come on.
In the first case, everybody agrees. You're saying Nahavamina?
In the third answer. Where everyone knows, right. In the third answer, factually, when I read the Mishnah, what do I see? In both the Havi and Maskana, you have to agree with these facts. The wall of the oven's hot. Right? And alacharis means something else.
Right.
So the Havmina would say, what? I can't ask, I could use this as a good kasha on Shmuel because?
Because it's hot.
Why should it be the Eklipa? But 1 second! But it's Cham etol Cham! What kind of Havmina is that? You understand?
I mean, it's a question on Shmuel Tesla, yeah.
In other words,
based on Shmuel's
question. His question is a great question. Your question is right. This is the moment. Right here, right now. This is your time, Kampo. All right. In other words, if you're going to tell me that all along I learned in the first case of the Mishnah that it's a hot piece of Korban Pesach and the wall is hot, right? And all the Mishnah says is Klipa. What do you mean? How can the Mishnah just say Klipa? According to Shmuel, it's got to be the whole thing is a problem.
According to everybody.
Right. And would Tosos miss that?
No.
So you're going to have to be very creative here to figure out a way to extricate Tosfos from this mess that you created with your question. But I think you can.
Even covered.
Yeah. Everyone understand that question, by the way? It's beautiful. We're going to hold off that third answer in Tosos, but let's just do the Gemara, okay? Because let's read the Gemara again, and I want you guys to tell me how to learn this, because this is very difficult. So again, the Gemara says, Tanan. So now let's, according to Tosos, we've established that no question about it, we can now learn that the only the second case is the Kasha and Shmuel, okay? So just to review. So the Gemara says that what? The Gemara says that it's a kasha and shmuel. Because according to Shmuel, if I hold tasa gavar, right, in the second case, if I hold tasa gavar, so then I should say what? I should say no klipa. I should say no yitals makoma, right? According to Shmuel, why should there be yitals makoma? According to Shmuel.
Right, cold.
Right? It's cold, right? Okay, we're not klipa anymore, okay?
And why don't you say, this is from before. So this is his first question.
Okay, good. So 1 second. So the Gemara's answer is, I'll tell you why. Because it says, in the case of the solas, it says rosachas. So since it says hot flour in one case, I can therefore say by the charis, even though it doesn't say the word hot, we can assume the charis is hot also. Okay, but 1 second. So 1 second. What do we do with this? In other words, what are you changing the facts of the Mishnah? In other words, he's saying that Shmuel can always learn the case of the charis if you want it hot, because he has a precedent in the Mishnah. So what was the Havamina? But let me ask you another question, based on what you just asked, okay? Which is, okay, well...
We just said a klipa still pushes into the cheres.
Ah, but what's changed here? There's two things
it's sauce, it's not a cheres.
Okay, so there's two things that have changed, okay? One, yitals makoma, okay? I'm cheating by saying that. Yitals makoma, meaning the amount has changed. But alongside that, what else has changed? We're no longer dealing with yavesh, we're dealing with lach. Or we're not dealing with substance, we're not solids anymore, we're dealing with liquid. Okay? That's the only variable that changed here. Meaning that, now, because you got to be careful. What I don't want you to say, I'm trying to push you one direction. I don't want you to define this by saying that maybe this second case is different because what's happening? There's an extra step involved. What's the extra step?
Hold on, wait. Is there an answer for Shmuel?